I'd like to read you an article. Rather, it's a letter taken from a book called The Letters of the Scattered Brotherhood. Not long ago, a statement for faith in action was given to one whose daily work is complicated by harassing personalities, perhaps one of the most difficult tests of character for all of us. I quote it for you. Say to yourself, I will keep all controversial opinion, all human impulses, and talk without myself in the outer realm of my life. For I know that trial and error, failures and half-successes, the onslaughts of personalities, obstinacies both within and without my own personality, are the passing and changing elements of living. I shall keep them outside the walls of my fortress. I know that within me, in the quietness beyond silence, is the assurance of a mortal life, and the potentiality for peace here and now. I know by this act, the sacrament of communion with the divine presence within me, I am being freed from those responses and impulses that would keep me earthbound. I know that as I live this life, it is but an echo as compared to the life within, eternal, immortal, omniscient. Take strength, my daughter, from these words, for they will be a healing breath to your body, and they are protection to your mind. Go about thy work, serene and free. To another was said, receive the assurance of your protection. Know with confidence that gentleness within is your strength. The immediate dismays and obstacles are apt to blind us from seeing our objectives. Do not bruise yourself against a stone wall. And do not ask why, because the knowledge needful is given you step by step, and what is most needful at this measured moment in your time is that you realize your protection through a gentle spirit within yourself, that you are aware of this, and keep faith in the invisibility of the Holy Ghost, the glory of the great and good peace of your inner self. Go thy way knowing. The reason so many are cynical in the confusions and alarms is because the wrongs are being worked out. They make the noise in the world, the tragic sound that brings sudden terror and dismay. The very quietness of goodness is undramatic and therefore too often unseen. You have a part to play. Every living soul has a part to play. So do not forget your special role. And do not underestimate the unseen influence of a Son of God. Abide in His words and go the way in peace. Hope holds to Christ the mind's own mirror out to take His lovely likeness more and more. There is your world within. There rid the dragons, root out the sin. Your will is law in that small common wheel. That last is by Gerard Manley Hopkins. Read to you tonight from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I would like to talk to you tonight about faith. I can do all things through God which strengtheneth me. For Christ which strengtheneth me. The very statement made in this connection is an act of faith. Many times we say we believe in something. Now, belief is faith of a sort. But we can believe in most anything. Most anything. And yet when we speak of faith, we think of faith in connection with God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So regardless of what any situation in our life is like at the moment, we can build a faith that is so powerful that it will overcome any and every obstacle. And we can hope for success instead of failure. We can hope for peace and happiness instead of unrest and sorrow. In every single instance, if we will but build faith within ourselves, then things will turn out completely right. This is another way of talking about the power of the subconscious mind, the power of positive thinking. It is all based upon faith, but it depends on whether you put your faith in yourself and your own efforts, or if you put your faith upon God alone. Did you ever stop to think, when you have a problem, that you can go into partnership with God, that you are truly never alone, no matter whether or not it seems that everyone and everything has failed you? There is always that abiding presence within yourself, that great and glorious presence, that power, that intelligence, that energy to bring to pass all things for the one who truly has faith in God and who loves Him. Now, if you don't love God in the beginning, you may still have needs, and these needs must be taken care of. But as you go along, as you apply the law of faith to every situation which comes before you, knowing that if your faith is strong enough, that God will show you the way, gradually you find that you are in partnership with God. And when you're in partnership with God, you are in partnership with everyone and everything in this universe, because where is He not? This is rather a staggering thought when it first comes to you. You can sit and meditate upon being a partner of God. Think of it. That you can take Him into your personal life. You can take Him into your business life. You can take Him into your social life. You can take Him into every phase of life and existence. And you are never, never alone. Not ever. Now, everyone in this world meets with problems. But it is these very problems which come to us, the difficult experiences in life which make us grow. They are put on the table before us in order that we may be tested. Also, in order that we may find that within ourselves we have the power of overcoming. That in truth, if our faith is supreme, we can overcome the greatest obstacle in the world. How many people have you seen who are physically handicapped, and yet they are living useful and happy lives, full lives fulfilled? The fact that they are handicapped physically doesn't seem to have made the difference with them. Certainly, they must have gone through a tremendous struggle. They must have had to face overwhelming odds when these things happened to them in their lives. And yet, through faith, through the extreme desire to find this power of overcoming within themselves, to find a solution for their problem, they have opened up channels. They have refused to be downtrodden. They have refused to be beaten. They have asked for help and guidance, and they have taken whatever comes to them as being from the Lord. There's a story told about a man and woman who are very well off, and they really lived to the highest degree on whatever they had. They spent money like it was going out of style. They never had a thought for tomorrow. They had no savings. They just lived as they went along. But one day, the man died of a heart attack. The woman was left without any resources at all except her home, which she had to sell to pay the bills. And so when that was done, she had $26.48 left to her name. So her first thought was, being untrained, what can I do? And she thought, I will have to get a loan. I will have to get a loan. So she went to a minister, and she asked him if he could help her. He said yes, they had a drawing fund, and he could let her have $100. That would make her have $126.48. But he said, it will have to be repaid because this is kept in store not for giving away purposes, but for loaning purposes. And others who have need of help will be coming also. So you must learn to pay it. He said, she said, well, what shall I do? He said, well, it seems to me that you must take out a policy. Well, what sort of a policy? She said, it doesn't seem to be very practical to take out an insurance policy. He said, no, I don't mean that. He said, I mean to take out a new policy of practicing faith. And he gave her an affirmation of faith. And he made her say it over and over and over again. In the beginning, she started to say it hesitantly, as though it didn't mean very much to her. But all of a sudden, her eyes closed. It seemed as though she went within herself, and she was really concentrating on the words which the minister had given her. And as she concentrated upon these words, as she repeated them over and over again, he saw a change come over her face. Her whole being seemed to light up. And she kept on and on. Finally, she came out of this sort of trance-like state. And she said, I see what you mean by the affirmation of faith. Well, this woman, with her $126.48, started searching for a job. But she first prayed that God would guide and direct her to the right job for her. And then again, she practiced her affirmation of faith with the specific and definite and firm knowledge that she, being God's child, would be taken care of. She went to the grocery store one day to spend a small portion of the amount that she had left for groceries. And there she found one of her friends working behind the counter. And as they talked, the girl said that she was pregnant, that she had to leave her job temporarily. And immediately the woman said, "Who's going to take your job?" And she said, "Well, they will have to get someone else." She said, "I would like to apply for it. Will you take me to your boss?" So the girl excused herself and took the woman, introduced him to her boss. Boss looked at her and he said, "I'm afraid you won't do." He said, "By your looks, I don't think you could qualify." She said, "Well, you are condemning me without a trial. Let me try, and I will prove to you that I can do work that is so good that you won't want to let me go." So the man relented, and he told her to come in Monday morning, and he would try her out. So she came in Monday morning, and she went to work behind the counter. She put all of her attention upon her job. She did everything that she was taught. She was pleasant to the people, and she did such an excellent job that when this one girl had her baby and returned, this same woman was kept on. Well, it so happened another employee left, and so a job was made for the girl who'd been there before. Time went on. The woman continued to work successfully in her job. One day, a woman who came in there frequently, who owned a fashion shop, said to her, "I would like to have you come and work in my store." She said, "You're a very attractive person. You're well-educated, seemingly, and you're very intelligent. You keep yourself up so well." She said, "I'm sure you would make a good saleswoman." And the woman says, "But I know nothing about this type of business." She said, "Well, come and I will teach you." So the woman went to work at the fashion shop, and she became a very successful saleswoman. She learned all there was to know about that. Finally, she was able, through special friends and financing, to open up her own shop and developed a tremendous business and made a very fine name for herself. All of this was done through the power of faith. Now, you couldn't convince this woman that faith didn't work for her because she had tried it and she had proven it to be so. I'm sure that each and every one of us have had an experience in faith. We have been tested, and we have lifted our eyes to the hills and asked for help. You know, it used to be in the old times that God would say to his servant, "My servant, I wish to speak to thee." But now it is the devotee who looks to God and says, "God, Lord, your servant wishes to speak to you." And we do all of the talking. We don't listen to God at all. Now, one of the definite requirements in faith is to listen. When you ask for help, when you ask for the answer to a question, you also have to listen to that answer. You have to, when you ask for guidance, listen to that still small voice so that you can hear God's voice and understand what He is saying to you. Now, many times He will direct you in strange ways, ways perhaps that you had never considered before. And perhaps something in you says, "No, this is not the right way. I'm not going to do this." He doesn't know what he's talking about. But there is never a time when God doesn't know what he's talking about. There is never a time when you get true direction from within, that if you will listen to that direction and abide by it, that he will help you, he will guide you, he will direct you to that which is for your highest good. Now, many times he does this, and you don't understand in the beginning why you've been put in this position, because you wanted something very different than what you have. But you don't stop to think that this is another testing period to teach you humility and to teach you additional faith, to help you to reach out more drastically, more often, more definitely than you did before. It is also perhaps a learning experience to prepare you for the next step which will come to you, and maybe you will have a better job, a better position, or some better circumstance in your life because you met that first challenge and you were willing to accept God's will for you. That is most important in this act of faith. You must be willing to do your part. You can't sit still in a rocking chair and rock back and forth and say, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, I have faith that I'm going to get a job and I'm going to do this or I'm going to get that, and not lift a finger to do anything about it yourself, because faith without works is dead. You can have faith, but you must follow up that faith with every single effort you can put forth yourself to make these things come true. Now we come to the subject of dreams. There isn't anybody in this world, scarcely, that doesn't have a dream. I've met one or two people who don't have dreams. I had one very brilliant man tell me one time that he had absolutely no ambition for success, for name, for fame, for position of any kind. He was just content to go each day and do whatever was required, which is one way of living. But all of the great things that have ever happened in this world are the result of some man's dream. So are some of the bad things the result of some man's dream. But we want to take it from the standpoint of building a dream that is perfect, that is good, to draw a blueprint for tomorrow, and to put on that blueprint every single detail of that which we feel will take us to our highest development, which will take us to our greatest dream, which is the realization of our oneness with God. And in the things that we dream about, that we want to express, the gifts which God has given us, we can put forth that part of God's creation, that part of God's dream, which was born within Him in the beginning of time, that this particular cell of His body was going to be given this special gift to use for Him, to spread His name, to glorify Him, to put forth His power, and to do some good which will uplift mankind into a higher consciousness and a greater life. We're all here but for that purpose alone. And if each and every one in this universe were to give forth his very highest, his very best, it would be a wonderful world. If we could truly have the brotherhood of man, if we could have a world where there was no criticism of anyone and their actions, but that, as this letter that I read you said, think of that as the world without yourself, but don't let one single thing that is not pure taint the inward part of your being. Soon you would attain a state of purity. I had a letter just this last week from a young couple who are very, very wonderful souls. They are living in a teepee in British Columbia in the northeastern part. And they are practicing silence, or as the Hindus call it, mona. If they have to communicate for any reason, they write on a piece of paper to each other. They have a stove for cooking purposes in the teepee, and they have a creek that runs nearby. And this is their existence. I'm sure they have plenty of warm clothing. But they are practicing silence so that they may keep their attention fully upon God. Now, in this busy world in which we live in the city, how many of us can build our own teepees, have our own stove inside to keep us warm, and the creek of spirit which flows constantly to quench our spiritual thirst and really make use of it? Really make use of it. If we can do that, We are indeed a long way on the path toward purity, to a complete concentration upon God and total surrender to Him. Because all of these things must come if we are to attain the realization of our oneness. We go along day by day. Always tomorrow, we are going to start meditating. Always it is tomorrow that we're going to face ourselves, that we're going to change something within ourselves and really get control, really become masters. But the trouble is, you see, that we don't have faith in ourselves. And we have to have faith in ourselves before we can have faith in God. Because we are God in human form. You have to have a good self-image before you can put your foot on the first rung of the ladder. If you don't have a good self-image, you've got to try to build one. Because until you can get straight with yourself, you're not going to be able to really change your consciousness to the point where you can act in total faith. This faith builds gradually. Sometimes it seems as though some people come with it. From the time they are little children, they speak about God. They know that they have a Father in heaven and that their Father takes care of them at all times. And others have to work for it for years. Sometimes people never get it all of their lives. And that is because they don't have what it takes to stand up and be counted as human beings, as children of God. They're content just to wander their way through life and let whatever happen come. This is a terrible way to live. Everybody has to have a dream. And you have to build a ladder step by step to the highest recesses of your being so that you might find that dream fulfilled. If you will close your eyes and be very, very still and visualize this ladder of self-realization extending up and up and up and see at the end of it in your dream the great light of God. And as you climb closer and closer and closer, that light becomes brighter until as you climb to the last step of the ladder, you are completely enveloped by that light. So much so that you become a part of that light itself. And yet because it is one, there is truly no part, but only God. God as the light of the world, shining His light. How beautiful, how wonderful is that experience. Many of you have had spiritual experiences. I know that when I myself am lifted up into the heaven of my own being, when I am filled with the bliss of God, I have a feeling which is indescribable in human words. But I feel His infinite presence within me. I feel His love. I feel His peace. It is as though, in a sense, all thoughts stand still. And I am in a state of suspended animation, just experiencing this tremendous state of bliss, of feeling, of love, of power. And then sometimes it changes. And I feel the activity, that power going to work. And it is as though it permeates and encompasses the whole world. There are times when I am lifted up and someone calls me. They are in trouble. They ask for help. And because of the state which I am in, that power goes forth. And beyond any question of a doubt, I know that it has reached its mark. That something has truly happened. Because that power was so greatly within me and went forth from me. And I take no credit for the power because I wasn't there in a sense except as a witness. But that power of God is felt. And when you can develop that power within yourself through faith, you can move mountains. You can move worlds. It tells us so in the Scriptures. It says in one place, if ye have faith even the size of a grain of mustard seed. Just think, did you ever see how small a mustard seed is? And that is all that is needed. Faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. Of a mustard seed. And you can move worlds. You can do anything. It is fantastic. Now this you can apply to your health. You can apply it to your business affairs, to your marriage, to your love life, to your social life, to your every activity, but above all, to your spiritual life. And when you can face yourself and know that rightness doesn't come out of wrongdoing, when you know that the answer to every solution is within yourself, and if you can truly have the faith and follow it up with works or action to change yourself along constructive lines, that you and your whole life are going to change. You're going to become a different person. You're going to build a different world for yourself than you ever knew before. Pardon me. It will be a wonderful world. A wonderful world. It told us in this chapter tonight what we must do. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You come to a place when you have total faith that God will look out after you, where you start to climb this ladder of your dreams, the ladder of self-knowledge, of self-revelation. And as you climb that ladder, you yourself, the God self within you, is revealed step by step, facet by facet, of this beautiful diamond, which is the light of God within you. Don't stop at the first step, thinking you have it all, nor at the second step, nor at the third, but be willing to climb to the top, never giving up, and never letting yourself be affected by the things that happen outside. Did you ever stop to think, those of you who are constantly in conflict during a day, whether it be in your family, in your job, or whatever, that if you would shut out that outside world, if you would give it everything you have insofar as practical application, but if you would keep this inner world intact and never accept that which is disturbing from the outside, that you would do all action, every single act in service of your life, in total peace and harmony. Don't forget that as ye give, so shall ye receive. Now, whatever you give out from yourself returns to you. Many times I get gifts, and sometimes gifts of money from people. And when I acknowledge that by letter, I always say, as I thank them and bless them for what they have given to me for God's work, that I hope that it returns to them 1,000 times in the gold of the Spirit. What greater wish can I give them? Shall I wish that they have it returned to them 1,000-fold in money? They might spend it or give it away again. But when I wish it for them in the gold of the Spirit, I am wishing for them the coming of the greatest wealth that any individual soul can have. Because when this gold of the Spirit comes, this is the light of God that illumines the human being. And step by step, in every act, as you try to do all of the things that are taught you of truth. And I mean really try, not just dab at it, but work at it every moment of your life. You will find that this expansion takes place, this change takes place within you, and you're building a new nation, a new world, a new universe within yourself. And all of it is good and is pure. When you can stand forth as totally purified, as totally filled with the light of God, you become a light on a hilltop for others to follow. And as they see your light, they reach out for it, just like a man on a ship heads for the beacon on the shore. They want some of what you have. And so, being that truth, that light yourself, that love of God yourself, you give it to them. And they, in turn, become filled with light. And so you become a light bearer of God. And you pass the lantern that is lit from hand to hand until all of your part of the world is lit up. This is the way the world will change, in no other way. Many strange things are happening. Look at the wonderful weather we have had here by comparison with the weather they have had in the East Coast, for instance. Today they had snow in Florida, the land of sun. It's amazing what is happening all over. We live in the sunshine. They live in the bitter cold and the snow, where there is not supposed to be so much and sometimes not any. What is the answer for this? You build your own world. You build your own cold. You build your own warmth. You build your good or you build your evil. The choice is yours, because God made perfect law, and He gave man the power and the consciousness and the will and the energy to make his own free choice as to which road he's going to take. It is up to each one individually and totally as to whether he is going to reward or punish himself. You have your life in your own hands. You can make of it what you will. You can't blame anyone else if it doesn't go right. You can't blame circumstances. And even if something happens to you which you feel you don't deserve, and which, looking at your life in this incarnation, you certainly don't deserve, still, you would not have it if you did not earn it. But you can't just say, fate is against me, and become bitter and lie down the job. You've got to do something about it. So you get up and say, through my faith in God, I will conquer all things. My faith in God, I will be strengthened. And Christ does all things through me. Every single thing. How wonderful. He is the builder of the universe. He is the carpenter of your being. He is the carpenter of your thoughts, of your power, of your energy. Put Him to work. Take Him as your partner. And become so close to Him that finally your being melts into His, and you become an heir with Christ in God, so that you can stand before the throne of God, spotless, free of the sin of the idea of separation. And that idea of separation includes all other sins. When you are free from that, you are one with Him, and you are in a state of absolute and complete purity. How beautiful, how wonderful it is. Your guilt is gone. Your strivings are gone. Your upset conditions are gone. Your unrest is gone. Everything falls into place. And you have surrendered yourself to Him totally, completely, for all time to come. Then you do not have to carry the burden. Because having surrendered yourself to Him, truly you are the witness of everything that He alone thinks, says, and does through this form, which formerly you called yourself, but now what you know is His. It is He alone who does all things for us and through us. Remember this. All things work together for good for the one that loves God. Pardon me. All things work together for good for the one who loves God. So let your love for Him expand through every part of your being. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father which art in heaven. But make the foundation for everything that you do, everything that you are going to build, an act of complete and supreme faith that God is your Father and His will for you is good. He wants only that which is for your highest good. And He will help you to the very, very limit of His being. There's a story told about a little boy who was born in a far-off village. And as the little boy grew a little bit older, he started to creep, crawl, and then gradually to take his stumbling steps. So when he learned to walk in the beginning, the mother tied him to her person with her apron string. And no matter where she went, the little boy toddled along, securely tied to his mother's apron string. And as she worked, she sang. As the little boy grew older, he became discontented with always being tied to the mother's apron strings. And he asked if he couldn't be untied and run around. "Not yet," she said. "You are not old enough." Well, he grew till he was almost as tall as she. Still, she kept him tied to her apron strings. And she worked and she sang. But one day, as she moved away from the little boy, the apron string broke. And the little boy thought, "How weak is my mother's apron strings?" But because he was free, he'd gained his freedom, he ran out the door. And he ran away from home. And he went out into the forest and he went up hill and dale. He explored the riverbeds and the creeks. And he was having a beautiful time. And he'd get up to the top of the rock and he would cry out in sheer joy. And as he was doing this, all of a sudden his foot slipped. And he came tumbling down. But as he tumbled down, there was a jutting out rock. And that part of his mother's apron string, which was still tied to him, caught on this rock which had a strong branch on it and held him fast there. And there he dangled over a tremendous chasm below. And he waited, and he cried out. All of a sudden, there was someone from the village came along, and they heard his cries. So they climbed up to where he was, and they released him. And they took him home again. And when he got home again, he sat down and he thought to himself, "How strong my mother's apron string is." This is the way God is. He keeps us tied to Him in the beginning. And then He breaks the string and He lets us go out into the world. And usually we get in trouble. But the other part of the apron string is always there waiting for us. Always. And so He lifts us up again. And He takes us into His arms. And He is so pleased that we have returned to Him. But we know that that strength of the Mother God and the wisdom of the Father God is always there if we will but call upon it. God's will be done in each and every one of us.